I know, I don't like this myself. I'm like,
oh, I had to do the beginning of the tape, and now I'm going to do this. And I played back with myself, and I'm like, ah. But yeah, they'll just take this and put it together. Mm-hmm. Try to put some of the parts together we talked about.
Some people sound so good on a recording.
I think it's just the way we're used to hearing ourselves, and then we listen to them and go, that's not me. Okay, well, we're going to do this side again. And I think I had asked you about the orchards. The reason I'm asking that, when in Dwayne Smith's class, we were talking about, you know, he was talking about the struggle trying to make a living, mm-hmm. and how Colorado's always had such a hard time with, you know, because of people coming in from the outside, and mm-hmm. you know, it's hard to keep up with all that. And he said, I think there was a lot of fruit orchards in Hermosa.
Mm-hmm.
People were trying to make a living doing that. And then you said there was a lot of strawberries
and raspberries.
Yeah. And that's what you.
Are you familiar with the road on the east side of the valley?
No.
There is a beautiful home right at the end of Trimble Lane. When you go across at Trimble Lane, there's this big white farmhouse.
Mm-hmm. Up there on... Oh, I know where it is. I ride my bicycle up there.
Oh, uh-huh.
Where that stop sign is.
Yes, uh-huh.
And then you go left and up towards the bar.
Well, that's the place where my sister picked strawberries and raspberries.
At that house?
Uh-huh. They had orchard and berry patches. And the lady that she worked for still lives in that house. She's in very poor health now. But she has kept her yard and garden just beautiful all these years.
Oh, and does she still have strawberries?
No. No, that has gone the way. She has beautiful flowers.
Mm. Yeah, I like that area up there. I ride my bicycle up there a lot. How much of this land on the other side did you own before you? Well, that you still own. You still own it.
We still own about 35 acres over there. We have sold some on each side of the 35 that we still own.
Mm-hmm. See, we also talked a little bit about the highway. We were mm-hmm. talking about the highway coming mm-hmm. through, and that you had to sell to them. And that, how much do you think you still own of all the land altogether that you originally had?
Well, that 35 acres over there is all east of the highway, and then
you don't own any in Hermosa anymore?
No. We own, well, maybe 20 acres on this side of 203.
You remember much about Hermosa? Is that a town still?
Well, it
was it a town?
Really wasn't a town. It was a railroad stop. Yeah. When they shipped produce to Silverton, that's where they loaded it on the train, was at Hermosa. There's a water tower there. The train would stop and fill up with water before it started chugging up the hill.
About the train. Someone was telling me that there was a town between here and Durango a long time ago, and called Animas City, or
this end of what is Durango now, there was quite a division. Animas City was just a small area. In fact, Joan's dad was mayor of Animas City at one time.
Really?
And then there was an open space across from the fairgrounds. The fairgrounds has been there since time immemorial. But there was quite a space between the two, and they were separate for a while. And finally, Durango and next, Panama City, and it's all Durango now.
Did it have something to do with the train not stopping?
Yes. And I can't remember exactly. It's probably in that book I loaned
you. I need to get that out of you. Yeah, I was, because I was wondering, that's why they always blow the whistle on the train when they come through here. Is that, do they get, have you ridden on the train since they the way they do it now, with just tourists? And
I haven't for several years now.
I just wondered if they gave the history, if they could talk a little bit about the area.
No, I don't think they do.
When did they stop using it for produce?
Oh, it's been a long time. I'd say 50 years anyway.
And that, is that all it was for? Just
no, the all sorts of freight. That was one of the main ways that Silverton got any kind of freight, was on the train.
Yeah. I've been to Silverton once. Uh-huh. It's a cute little town. Mm-hmm. And did you, I think I asked you this, but did you say you didn't go there very much? You didn't go to Silverton because it was so far?
Mm-hmm. No, I can't really remember when the first time that I went to Silverton was, but I was grown, I'm sure.
What about the newspaper? Do you remember much about the newspapers?
Well, I do remember when I was, probably in junior high age, my dad was a great admirer of the editor's writing. Harry McDevitt was the editor. And my dad just couldn't wait to get the paper to read the editorial and see what Harry McDevitt had to say that day.
Did they talk a lot about like the areas around here, Silverton? And
there was a lot more local and semi-local news in it then than there is now.
Hmm. Yeah, there is. I know, you get the paper and you read about stuff going on in Denver. Or
yes. Associated Press stuff that you could read.
If you want to get the Denver Post.
Or you can see it on TV.
I know, I was kind of surprised. I the first time I bought the Herald. It's always been the Durango Herald.
Oh, it went through 3 or 4 different name changes.
How about the printing shop? Is it in the same place, same area?
It used to be on the east side of Maine where the carriage shop is now. That little group of galleries and so forth. The newspaper used to be there.
Do you remember much about the Indians coming into town and trading? And
a little. There used to be quite a lot more of them in their long velvet skirts and so forth. But John can remember the Utes coming by on the road here, horseback, big groups of them, traveling over from Montrose and Ouray to Ignacio. And he said his mother was deathly afraid that something would happen to the kids, so she had warned them, and he said, "My, if they saw Indians coming, they really ran and hid."
Oh, gosh. What about, there's another reservation, right, that's...
There's the Ute Mountain Utes that are out at Toyoak, out from Cortez.
Yeah, I drove by that.
Oh,
did they come this way much?
No, I don't think so. I think they probably came mostly from Utah.
Did they ever seem, was there ever much trouble, or did it always seem to be just everybody's own little fears? Of
I guess there was a fort of sorts built somewhere up in the area of Timberline Academy or somewhere up there. And I believe that's in that pioneer book that you have. That they were Now, whether that was following the Meeker massacre or just, but it was way back in history, but mm-hmm. the settlers in the valley did provide a place to go if they needed.
They used to come down County Road 203 mm-hmm. on their horses. Mm-hmm. That's a long ways.
A long ways.
And it was just a trade? Or, I mean, they'd bring things they made? Or?
Probably they were, I don't know why they were traveling back and forth, really. Just wanting to go somewhere.
Just like we travel, I guess.
Right.
And that was... That was John's dad.
It was his mother that was so fearful for the kids. And that is an early recollection of his because his mother died when he was 7. So he was pretty small when he ran and hid from the Indians.
Oh, gosh. Have you found very many things in the
Arrowheads? The Anasazi had dwellings down along Fall Creek through here, and we have found quite a lot. Not anything in very good shape, but lots of pottery sherds and some bones.
This is your son's wife?
She majored in anthropology.
Here at Fort Lewis?
Uh-huh.
That's what I thought. I thought that's what I'm So she can probably date mm-hmm. a lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of it sounds so interesting. I did a report last year on Chief Uray.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Do you remember? Have you ever seen his house in Montrose?
Yes. But John's just been reading a book about him, and he said, how come we've never gone to Ignacio and seen the monument over there? And I wasn't even aware there was one in Ignacio. So I guess we'll have to go look.
Yeah.
We did stop at Montrose last summer and went through the museum.
I haven't been through there since I came out here. When I first moved here, I came through Montrose, mm-hmm. but that was before I started going to school. So now I have all these interests, so I'm going to go look at everything. Well, I'm going to put it in. Okay, let's see. I think we talked about the flood. Did your kids all stay here then and grow up here in this area?
Mm-hmm.
And then did any of them go to Fort Lewis?
Ed graduated from Fort Lewis. Ed and Sandy both did, of course. Sandy's our kid, too.
Yeah, yeah.
And, but none of the others went to Fort Lewis. Anne went 1 year to Fort Collins, CSU. And then the love in her life had a football scholarship to BYU, so she transferred and finished out there. Ida just couldn't bring herself to want to go to college in Colorado, so she went to University of Arizona in Tempe. Nelson never did finish college anywhere. He has all kinds of interests, but college wasn't one of them.
What's he doing?
He's doing personal counseling now. He's married to a very successful artist, so he really doesn't have to worry about whether he works or not. And Ed went to Fort Lewis, graduated, and Jerry went to School of Mines in Golden.
Yeah. I almost went to Golden. None of them are miss farming.
Well, Jerry is still farming on the side. He and his wife live on the farm that she grew up on out south of town. And he raises alfalfa, sells it to people with horses. But he also has a business in town developing high-tech drilling equipment for commercial use.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like they've all done really well.
Well, they all have learned how to work when they were kids.
Yeah.
And I think that made the difference.
How young were they when they first started helping?
Oh, I'd say 5, maybe. There were always jobs that the little ones could be responsible for.
Did you ever have chickens or anything like that?
Oh, we had a few chickens. So.
Just for yourselves, for eggs? Mm-hmm. Well, you were so healthy, you ate so good.
Well, that's the trouble. We ate all that stuff that we thought was so healthy, healthful. Mm-hmm. Butter and cream and eggs and... Then I had to have bypass surgery years later.
Well.
On account of it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it is healthy, I think, if you don't have too much, but it's just that was the diet.
Yes.
And that was just, and people didn't realize. You know, probably better off to have more of the potatoes.
I think so.
Without the butter.
Right.
You made your own butter?
Yes.
Did you have a regular butter churn?
Mm-hmm.
Did the kids do that?
When that was one job they didn't enjoy doing, but they basically did it, yes.
We had a butter churn.
Oh.
When I was growing up. My grandfather was in this. So, and then, what else did you grow besides potatoes and say you grew?
Well, those corn and alfalfa and potatoes were the primary crops.
But the corn was
for ancillage for the cattle and sheep.
When did you decide to sell the sheep?
Oh, we sold them after the highway came up through the valley. It made it harder moving them back and forth across the road, and we had more dog problems because there were more dogs circulating up through the middle of the valley, and we finally decided that it would be best to get out of the sheep.
Were there a lot of people that had sheep?
Oh, they were fairly common, yes. There wasn't anyone here in the valley that had herds that they took to the range in the summer. Up in the mountains, it was all farm flocks.
Okay. Do you remember how many churches were in Durango when you first moved here?
Oh, probably 8 or 10. There are a lot now. In fact, I'm not even sure where some of them are.
Seems like Third Avenue has a lot.
Of course, it was the main boulevard when the town was first founded.
Third Avenue?
Mm-hmm. And so that's where they put their churches.
And then it just sort of built up from there.
And there are a lot of really old homes on Third Avenue.
They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I noticed when I came into Durango was that I drove down that road. It was just beautiful. Was that always a two?
And those trees that are planted there in the center are old trees. Some of them were planted when Durango was first built. Back in 1880. So they're, some of them are over 100 years old.
People just built their own homes.
Uh-huh.
Helped each other. Did you have help building this? Oh, yeah, you did.
We hired a construction firm to get the framework up and to do the cabinet work upstairs. John didn't do much on the interior. We had a masonry fellow lay the slump block. We used it because it is material that will store the solar heat.
Mm-hmm. What water do you use?
We don't have water in our heating system at all. It's just hot air from the sun.
That's all you heat with, the sun? Well, you deploy.
We put in a gas furnace finally this fall. And I have certainly appreciated it the last month.
Does this, the sun you get during the day, then that keeps it warm at night?
It does pretty well. If now on a day like today, the furnace won't come on till, maybe 11 o'clock tonight. It'll start coming on.
Before, what did you do before you had your furnace?
We'd build a fire down here in the evening.
Oh, that would be nice.
But on days that are cloudy and cold, we would have to fire all day.
Which we get a few of those.
Yes, and we've had some in the past month.
Yeah.
It would have been... We'd had to fire a lot to keep the house warm.
Does the weather seem to be about the same?
Oh, basically, yes.
Do you remember worse snowstorms than
we
had?
A few, once in a while. And this winter, maybe one.
Don't say that. That's what they said last year.
Yes.
When I first moved here, you know, we had that storm. And everybody said it was they'd had a drought for a few years. Not a lot of snow. Do you remember any droughts or any times like that where you had a hard time with your farming?
The one year that we had the worst time was in 1927. The farm down there at Sunnyside is on an irrigation system from the river. And we always had irrigating water. Of course, my dad had to work pretty hard sometimes, keeping it spread out and enough to keep crops growing. But in 1927, along in June, we had a lot of rain, and the river came up, and it washed out where the ditch was diverted from the river. So all summer, we were without irrigating water. It got pretty dry that summer.
That made such a difference, the irrigating and not having all the running water and things that we have now. Well, I think we've probably talked enough. We don't have to do the whole thing.